There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It is another one of those days today, is it not, NLT?
Yes, today is Read a Book Day. So there was a quote to go alongside this that I saw earlier on today, and it says, Reading gives you a view of life that you've never seen.
Incredibly important thing to do. Not enough people read books. I was watching a TV show last night, and it was one of those sort of survive on an island, and the guy that took over was a very loud sort of, look at me, I'm in the centre of everything, and he was rubbish, and he was leading them off in the wrong direction, away from the water source, one of those people. But there was a bit where it cut away, and the group were clearly getting upset with him, and it cut away, and he says, oh, these middle class, they're all so clever, all that, that nonsense, I don't read books. And I thought, well, maybe you could start reading books. It might help
you. Yeah. I always find it suspicious when people say they don't like books. Surely there's just not the right, you've not found the right kind of book. There's, look, you know, there's fiction, there's non-fiction. So I think there's lots of options. Have you, is there a book that's stuck with you, Tim?
Oh, yes. No, there is. I didn't realise you were going to ask me that question. It's called Jupiter's Travels. It is by a guy called Ted Simon, and I had this phase of reading travel books, and I used to read Paul Theroux and Nick Danziger, all those sort of travel-type authors, and I read this Ted Simon book, and what he did was he went around the world, English guy, went around the world on a motorcycle in, I think he started in about 1973, 74, wrote a book about the experience.
Wow.
Took him a few years, but it's one of those books. And then a couple of years ago, Sally, you know this, because I lament the day that I didn't read the Litfest lineup. He was here.
You must always. When they release the names, you've got to, it's a very long list because usually there's like 140 authors. But you've got to, exactly. He came to the Emirates Literature Festival.
I didn't know.
And you
missed
it.
Mark Lloyd, did Mark talk to him? I can't remember who talked to him. Anyway, but he was one of my heroes. But the way he wrote this beautifully written book, and it was very, for the time, he was very kind of accepting of how people were, and he went everywhere. He went through all kinds of wars, and
you think in the 70s it wasn't so accessible. We take travel for granted and the freedom of movement so for granted now, but doing that back then on your own, such a big deal and such a different place. Lots of the places that you went to so changed if you went to now.
That's right. Have you read a book today? Are you going to read a book today?
I haven't read
something of a book today.
No, I haven't read a book today, but I was just having a think, and you know, there's lots of books that stick with you, and I think some of the ones that I read in school had an influence on me. But there was one, I really remember this, reading it on a family holiday, and you know, you take a couple of books and then you swap them over. So there was one, it's called Crows Over a Wheatfield. I think I've mentioned this before. And it's by an American author called Paula Sharp. And it was just, I think it reminds me of a time in my life. And also it was an interesting story. It was about a female lawyer, really powerful lawyer, living in the shadow of her father, who was a successful judge. And it was about domestic violence and how her life became interweaved with other people. And they set up an underground railroad to help women and victims of domestic violence escape. It was really interesting. But it was the way the author wrote, she was formerly a lawyer herself. And it was just so interesting. And it was so empowering. And I was probably a teenager. And I think it really gave me a sense of, I can do anything I want. And I think my parents really pushed that in me anyway, but this was sort of the final seal that probably led me to be a bossy boots to this day.
My son's listening, and he won't be, because he'll be horizontal under the stairs probably. Read a book today, Rod. Just pick up a book and read something. Please read something. I'll pay you.
I think the thing with me, though, is when I was younger, I used to get books as presents. My mum's a teacher, as you know, and that was a gift. That was what I used to get. Every Easter, I would get books. That was it. No chocolate.
Transportation to another world. It's going to be a day of culture today, because if it's World Read a Book Day, we now know when the Louvre is going to open. Our lead story next. More on that with Richard Dean.
Can't get enough of Dubai Eye? Get much more
at DubaiEye1038.com.
The Louvre, Abu Dhabi, is opening. Richard Dean's been in the capital today at the announcement. On the line, Rich, good to talk to you.
Hello, Tim.
So have they set the date, question one?
November the 11th, 2017, which means we've got, what, just over 2 months to wait.
Okay, now, you've not been in the building, I know that, but lots of what was revealed today was about the building. That there's a story there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to start with the architecture itself, Jean Nouvel, the French architect, was there, dressed head to toe in black, looking every inch the cool French architect that he is. But actually, it was interesting talking to some of the Emiratis involved in the project about what the building means. And we've seen the pictures. It's stunning. But it's based on the city of Al Ain that you and I know well. I know the last time you were in Al Ain, you were DJing, I think, with Kool and the Gang in a hotel. But there's more to the Garden City than that. And what they've done is they've taken all the trees that you get there and the canopies that the trees fall and the way that that traditionally shielded the tribespeople from the sun, and they're trying to recreate that with this spectacular dome roof that covers the Louvre, Abu Dhabi. So it lets a little bit of light through, so you get these shafts of light coming through. And both Mohammed al-Mubarak, His Excellency, who's the chairman of TDIC in Abu Dhabi, also Hissa al-Dahiri, who I spoke to, who's deputy director there, she was saying, I'm from Al Ain. I know about this growing up, walking through these forests and feeling these shafts of light beaming down through the trees, the canopies, almost like a laser beam's being shot down. And that's what they're trying to recreate, and it's going to be so dramatic.
Do you know, it's interesting that, because the fear, I suppose, for many people would be the simple idea is just to do another pyramid there, but you kind of have to move that on, because the pyramid in where the Louvre is set in Paris is in and of itself something unusual, so you have to further that, don't you?
They have, and they've moved the story forward. This is very much a local manifestation of the Louvre, and it's going to have the big name international artists that we all know and love and that we all studied at GCSE or O-level art, and some locally relevant pieces as well. So it's going to have, it's one of the things actually that stuck in my mind that Mohammed al-Mubarak said, who's the chairman of TDIC, he said, we want this museum to appeal to everybody, all cultures, all nationalities, and all religions. He used those three words, and he chose them very carefully. So it's not just an Islamic museum or an Arab museum or an Emirati museum. It is an international museum in the UAE, as distinct from purely a UAE or Emirati museum.
I've heard a clip today on the news that the Louvre is somewhere that it's hoped will be a centre of cultural excellence. But from what you're saying there, it means a great deal in terms of what it puts forward for Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, the cultural destination piece was interesting what Mohammed al-Mubarak had to say, because right. He kind of surprised us, because he said this isn't actually such a big deal in Abu Dhabi's cultural history. And we're all there in the audience going, yes, it is. It's a really big deal. And he said, it's kind of a big deal, but it's kind of not. Because if you think about it, we've been doing this for years. So Sheikh Zayed began doing this in the 60s and 70s. And now President Khalifa is doing the same. So it's just another, and again, the phrase chose his words really, really well. So this is just another domino in Abu Dhabi's cultural history. There have been more dominoes before, and there will be others afterwards. Now, that's a nice story, and I get what you say. We all know, realistically, it is a huge deal. It's going to put Abu Dhabi on the global map as a centre for cultural excellence, and it will attract tourists, it will attract international visitors. But I thought the way he was almost downplaying it was lovely, and weaving it into the past, 50 years of Abu Dhabi's history.
And it becomes part of the Abu Dhabi fabric, I suppose. It's an enormous domino as far as I can see, but that's going to be knocked down on what, November the 11th?
It is. We're probably in danger of extending this metaphor a little bit too far. But yeah, November the 11th, that's your date.
All right, Richard Dean, good to talk to you, Rich. Thanks.
Meet Richard Dean and Tim Elliott talking about culture. Who'd have thought that would ever happen?
Cheers, Rich. Bye.
Stay connected with the latest sports news.
Download the ARN News Centre app now.
So not only is it World Reader Book Day, it is also the day that we find out that the Louvre, Abu Dhabi, is going to open on November the 11th.
I know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I will definitely be going.
It will be a global destination, there's no doubt about that. Sooner rather than later as well. Did you ever get a Guinness Book of World Records as a present when you were a kid?
No, but we had them in school. So I remember going and having a look at some of the more interesting records, shall we say.
I grew up with Robert Pershing Wadlow. Still the world's tallest man. I got a couple when I was a kid, and I used to scour them and try and memorise things like that. It's a sad thing to recollect, but it is true. So the Guinness Book of World Records launching their 63rd edition. It's one of the stories that Sona Rapani from the ARN News Centre has been looking at. More on that next.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai I 103.8.
We're talking Guinness World Records, and not just Tim's obsession with the crazy trivia. We're joined by Sonal Rapani from the ARN News Centre. She's been looking at this story today. The 2018 book has just been announced. That's right, isn't it? All the records that are in there, it's kind of from the past year that we've got in there. And you can tell us about some of the highlights, what we can expect to see when it's launched, all the records that have been broken.
Yeah, well, actually, some of the exciting things that we've learned are local. So the UAE has had 24 new records listed in the latest edition. That brings our total country records held to 190, which is the highest in the region. So that's pretty exciting. In fact, the UAE has its own Guinness Records office because of such an increased appetite for participating in this. Yeah. And they receive about 600 applications a year, so only a few are getting through. So some of the fun additions we've seen locally from this year: the Dubai Miracle Gardens created the largest flower arrangement structure, which was a massive A380-shaped structure with 5 million flowers. The largest artwork was produced by Stencil, and that was measuring almost 120 square feet, and that was released at Comic-Con this year. And I spoke to Talal Omar, who's the Guinness World Records country manager for MENA, and he told me about one of the most creative ones that he saw.
One of the probably creative records we've seen last year was by the Executive Council during the Innovation Week. The record title is Most Mechanical Energy Produced by Pedaling on Cycles in 60 Minutes or 1 Hour. We have 300 participants from the Executive Council pedaling or cycling on 100 static cycles, and they produced 8,999 watts in 60 minutes. And I'm sure everyone's going to ask, what can you do with 8,999 watts? What they've done is they lit up the LED screen, the facade of Burj Khalifa, to show the result and the achievement of what energy they produced. So that was a very nice way to show a collaborative way and innovative record.
Do you know, the thing with Guinness World Records is they're often, quirky would probably be, that's a twee word to use, but they are often quirky. How did I not know, by the way, about the plane and the flowers and the 5 million?
You must have seen the photos of that.
Genuinely, that one completely passed me by. And I like the idea. I've never been to the Miracle Garden. I like the idea of that. You know, flowers in the desert. And I think that's a great thing.
It was stunning, though. The plane was absolutely stunning.
Check out the photos. The photos are great.
Ah, okay. Did you know, Sally, did you see that? Sorry, I just...
I was there, yeah. We go every season.
Do you?
So obviously it kind of like... dies, all the flowers die down in the summer, nobody goes there, they close it off. But you should go every season. They kind of add something new, something quirky, something interesting. It's a fab place to go. Gorgeous.
It's funny though, because I was looking at stuff for trending, and one world record that was broken recently was the biggest pot of guacamole that was made. That is a record I am interested in.
Is that where was that was recently? That was the last couple of days ago.
Last few days, yeah.
Well, you bathe in that or something. That would be like
that's my idea. You'd have absolute jump right in. Food
pilots
loveliness.
Around you with fans and stuff like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, I just guacamole.
I mean, your husband's friends rather than just a random selection of pilots, which would be not that it wasn't an odd image.
That's you're making it more weird. Let's move on.
I'm moving past that. So, quirky ideas. So, things like you've been looking at this today, Sonal. The longest dressed train, largest gathering of people dressed as Mahatma Gandhi. I'd be up for that record, I have to say. But you can basically write to Guinness if you're going to do something extraordinary with any old idea. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, actually, on the topic of quirky, can I talk about one of the new international ones that I saw today that I loved?
Please.
It was a video of a bunny rabbit shooting the greatest number of slam dunks in a minute. I'm not even kidding. And so we're going to post this on our ARN News Facebook page. So check it out if you want to watch that. It's adorable.
This is not somebody dressed as a bunny. This is
it's
a bunny.
An actual bunny rabbit.
It's an actual bunny slam dunking.
Yeah.
I wonder how you...
I mean, no. It's a mini... Sorry, it's a mini little hoop. I mean, it's
I was
a cute
say,
little. Yeah.
That's some hop if it can get
it's
up
rabbit
there,
size.
Isn't it?
I should have clarified that first. Yes, it's suitable for rabbits, but it's just so cute.
Who trains a rabbit to slam dunk?
I don't know how you persuade them. Maybe there's lots of carrots underneath the target.
You'd have to think there'd be some kind of incentive there, wouldn't you? That would be logical. What else then have you been looking at today?
So sorry, that I didn't really address your question, which was how do you even apply to do this record? So Talal was telling me that you can go on the website and see what existing records there are and obviously, you know, register to participate in any of those, but you can also apply for a new idea. And in order to do that, you just have to meet a few criteria, which he tells me a little bit about.
When I say it has to be measurable, we're measuring one thing. Breakable, someone else anywhere in the world can break it. So if you're the first man, first woman in the moon, that's a record because that's the first. What you need, something that can be breakable by someone else. Another criteria that is important for us, it has to be standardizable, i.e. you'll have to maintain the same standards wherever you break it in the world. So we look at all these criteria, and if it can be matched,
It's an amazing thing, you know. There are all sorts of things that haven't been done, I suppose. The Mahatma Gandhi thing kind of stands out because it's odd, to say the least, to just dress up as somebody in history right. and gather and then break a record with it. That takes some thinking. We could do our own. What do you want to do?
I was exactly thinking that. So the two criteria he mentioned were measurable and could be standardised, so done in the same way by anyone around the world. So we could do a Drive Live world record. Let's get the application up. I don't know what the challenge is yet, but we can think about that.
Yeah.
I think we should do one.
What hasn't been done that needs to be done? It needs to have a purpose rather than just, you know, a big pot of guacamole because you like guacamole.
Pioneering.
Something pioneering, something that drives something forward, something that maybe offers something, does something good. Do you know? Something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking if there was something radio related, but I think there's quite a lot of those, like longest broadcast, 24
least,
hours.
Least listeners, maybe, something like that. Maybe we'll go there. Sorry, that was a joke, boss lady, if you're listening. All right, then, that's one story. The Guinness Book of World Records, 63rd edition, is out today. It's going to be in lots of wrapped up in lots of present forms, no doubt soon. Sona Rupani's looking at that for the ARN News Centre. Thank you.
Thanks.
And the bunny, by the way, will be up on the ARN News Centre app, the slam dunking bunny. Funny. Not a phrase I expected to utter over the course of a Wednesday afternoon.
Stay one step ahead with Dubai Eye
by downloading our ARN News Centre app now.
Yeah, one of the stories I've been looking at, also really popular on the ARN News Centre app, of course, because a lot of children went back to school today, so really popular on the website today, because familiar scenes in the morning, traffic congestion, pick-up, drop-off hours are back again this week, so lots of students have returned to school after the summer break. All the different ages generally seem to be back now. So as reported by ARN earlier, official stats indicate that school bus journeys account for just 13% of the total trips during morning rush hour in Dubai. That was something Mohammed discussed with us on this programme. The RTA also revealed that about 88% of students in the Emirates use private vehicles to get to school, which also then adds to the congestion. These parents explain why they're reluctant to opt for school transportation instead.
Some children do enjoy it, some others do not enjoy it, some others can be bullied into the school bus.
I think if they had more buses and they went to more communities and they made the buses a bit cheaper, people would use them more.
I find it a little bit worrying is the roads. I would prefer to have like special lines for all buses, not only for school buses.
Couldn't fault the system, it's just the cost, too expensive, so that's why we stopped. The other thing was they didn't come to where we live.
So, a couple of people responding to that topic. It was on the agenda this morning, but of course, when kids go back to school, you notice it on the roads immediately. There's not as much uptake in terms of people going to school on school buses as there perhaps should be.
Yeah, I was listening to this morning. Tom and Zara were talking about it, and they were just sort of saying price was a repeated issue over and over again. Price and safety were the two biggest concerns most parents seem to have.
Yeah, it was. Now, another story we've been looking at today, and this is another property survey or a report or a piece of research, if you prefer, which has been out. There's been a slowdown in the number of new homes coming on board in Dubai. Just over 1,600 units launched this year. That's down from, it's a massive drop as well, from 34,000 last year. It's according to Cluttons, the property services firm. It's a new report. It shows values across the residential market continue to moderate during Q2 2017, so up to the first 6 months of this year. Prices dropped by an average of 1.5%. Apartments fared slightly better than villas. Murray Strang's the head of Clutton's Dubai office. He says the market's fortunes remain tied to the looming Expo 2020 Dubai.
Yeah, I think long term it's a good story. I think we've been correcting now for some time. I think we've been dealing with the sort of global economic issues of oil price, expensive dollar, political sort of volatility, and now we're starting to see a bit less supply, a bit more of a correction, which actually, although right now it might be slightly negative in our report, for the longer term and the build up towards Expo, I think it's a positive cycle that we have to go through.
That was Murray Strang, head of Clutton's Dubai office. The report by Clutton's also shows that residential rents in Dubai dropped by a marginal 0.3% during the second quarter of this year, and this trend is likely to persist in the coming months. The study indicates that the rental market is still in the midst of correction, but it's now starting to look more affordable. Again, this is Murray Strang, head of Clutton's Dubai office.
I think people are starting to look about, and there's a lot of competition for price. Landlords For the first time in my experience, for the last sort of 2 to 4 years, are actually now having to negotiate hard over maintaining their rents rather than constantly seeing uplift every year. New developments may be down for the quarter or part of the year. I think on the whole, we are seeing a lot of new build handover. It's good product. It's good options for tenants. It's meaning that older property landlords are not able just to sort of sit on their merits as they were before, and they're actually having to persuade tenants that there is value in their property.
That's Murray Strang, head of Clutton's Dubai office. New piece of research out: residential rents in Dubai dropping by about 0.3%. Almost not enough to notice. In fact, for most people, probably not enough to notice. We would probably like to notice a bit more. Let's be completely honest. 6:17 it is. The last piece of news today is the Guinness Book of World Records 2018 is now out, or coming out, sorry, tomorrow. So look out for that one.
Just on that note, Sam did text in and suggest that one thing that we could do was eat a chili, I think he said, for the record. I can't find the text, but Sam suggested maybe it's one of the hot chilies. I think it's, yeah, really, really hot chili, he suggested.
Yeah, I like the idea of edible world records. I'm not so sure that that strikes me as being a little bit sadistic, but there you are. What are you going to do? Thank you, Sam.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.